The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour, broadcasting this time from the restaurant Divino, Italian food and wine bar in the Monte Carlo Hotel Casino on the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, where you should be. My guest tonight is Tanya Phillips, who is a general manager here. Wait, do you have a chance to meet and listen to some of the things she has to say? And we're looking forward to our celebration with great food pairings tonight. Also, we are have some imported Italian wines this evening, some bubbly, a little bit of rosé, and a little bit of red wine to go along with the cuisine here at Divino. So it should be very, very interesting. You know, thanks for all your inquiring emails sent from your home countries, from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Japan, from Baja California, from Australia, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house special guest audience is both hungry and thirsty. They're getting a little bubbly as we speak, and they can't wait to get started with tonight's program. Our program broadcast, remembering on each broadcast, as what we reflect for what we are here for, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. So, if this is your first time listening to Wine du Jour, stay tuned. You need to know more about what we don't do, and that is we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. Wines du Jour Food and Wine Radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we're also available on podcasts. We're free on iTunes. Listen to Wonder Radio and Warp Radio as well. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial, or we'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here with Wines du Jour. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Italians. You know, there is no such thing, in my opinion, as Italian food. What? Huh. There's Italian regional cuisine. Just like wine, most people think there's about 10 or 12 different varietals of grapes, and that's what they make wine from all around the world. No, maybe in California or in America, if you will. But in Italy, this is something you might want to write down, there are over 200 varietals of grapes grown in Italy. And the way they decipher everything is based on regions. So the regional cuisine I talked about also has the regional varietal grapes growing in that area, and I think that's a pretty good thing to have happen. So what you do is you have an opportunity to go to Italy, and you go to the northeast part, let's say the Veneto area as an example, and you have a lasagna dinner, and you have a nice glass of wine to go with it, and then later on you're down in Rome, and you also have a lasagna dinner there and a glass of wine, and guess what? It's lasagna, it looks like lasagna, but it doesn't taste exactly like it did when you were in the Veneto the day before. That's because each region has its own way of doing it. Each mother, if you will, or grandmother, has her own way of making that Sunday sauce, as they call it in New York, or red sauce, or bolognese, or, you know, there's a lot of different names for sauces for pasta. So everybody has their own way of doing it, and the good part is they use only regional product. So the way they like to put it is if it grows there, it goes there. If it grows together, it goes together. That's like the food and the wine. So you can probably not ever get used to all the different labels and names of varietals from Italy unless you live there or you're a real fanatic for Italian cuisine. But tonight, we're going to taste three different wines, and each one of them are a little bit different than what you're accustomed to, except the first one has a little Chardonnay in it. But we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines du Jour at Divino Restaurant in the, well, we're on the Strip. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're here at the Monte Carlo Hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas, and we're having a good time talking about some things of Italy, just because a lot of people aren't aware of it. They know there's Italians. They know that they all are very family-oriented. That's a very typical thing for Italians, and that's a good thing, I think. The Americans should probably take heed, because most Italians, the whole family sits down and has dinner every day together instead of, piecemeal. Somebody's already gone, somebody hadn't got there yet, somebody else is eating. That's all not the way they do it in Italy. They like to sit down and have a little conversation with them, with the whole family together, and I think that probably keeps the family together, if you know what I mean. Well, I want to mention, and I've talked before we went to the break, about regions in Italy, and I'd like you to think of Italy as a regional area. And if let me just tell you that I've counted those areas, or regions, if you will, and I come up with a total of 20. And 20 regions include Sicily and Sardinia. But the rest of it is pretty much all one long island. Look, everybody calls it the boot. It looks like a boot. But all these regions have their own little wines. They have their own types of food. They have their own style of cooking Italian cuisine. And that's what I'm thinking of when I go to a restaurant locally or anywhere. You may not find that lasagna at the restaurant tastes like you're used to. It doesn't taste like your mother made it or grandma made it or whoever, whatever restaurant you went to before. And I think a lot of that has to do with the region as well, because where they come from is the way they cook. And everybody doesn't come from the same region, therefore they don't cook everything exactly the same way. And that's why we have that variation. And I want you to not think of the people not knowing how to cook, but maybe not doing it the way you're accustomed to it, rather than it's not so good. So that's about all I have to say about that. Tonight, we are at one of my favorite restaurants. It's an Italian restaurant. They have Italian food and a great wine bar, incidentally. So if you come to Las Vegas and you come down the Strip, you'll see the Monte Carlo, and come on inside and look for Divino restaurant. Sit down at the bar and take a look at the wine list before you go in. Maybe make a reservation for dinner or lunch or what have you, and then go in and enjoy yourself. But the food and the wines here are absolutely outstanding. And one of the reasons is there's a lady who's the general manager known as Tanya Phillips. And Tanya is a very knowledgeable, well-experienced general manager. And she has really come to this place about a year ago. And I have to tell you, it wasn't bad before, but it's outstanding now, if that tells you anything. So, Tanya, thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your schedule this evening and spending some time with us and your hospitality here at Divino.
Thanks for being here.
You bet. Tell us a little bit about Divino, maybe about who owns it and how the system works and so on, so to speak.
We are part of MCCH Restaurant Group, which also owns Morel's. We also own Dragon Noodle next door, so that's the three representations in the market. And we also have Juice Farm, which is also over in the Venetian.
Uh-huh.
Divino, we offer many wines by the glass. We also have a great selection, and I broadened it to have representation from more regions in Italy, more
Perfect.
Kinds of varietals too. So instead of just the Pinot Grigio, we now have Vermentino, Verdicchio, et cetera, et cetera.
See what I'm talking about? This is where you don't have to get on the plane and take a long 24-hour trip from Las Vegas to get to Italy. You can come to Divino, and I'm telling you, it's like being in Italy in many ways, because the choices, wines by the glass, first of all, if you're a restaurateur listening to us here on Wines du Jour, you need to know if you don't have a wine by the glass program, you are in the 18th century. You need to have a wine by the glass program. That does not necessarily mean if you have 50 wines on your wine list that all 50 are available by the glass. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to have, I'm going to say a number, just, and you can make it higher or lower, it's up to you, but around 20 wines by the glass. And maybe six or eight of them would be white wine, maybe a few rosés, and the rest red wines, all by the glass. And that way, anybody that maybe a couple comes in and he wants to have something that's got red meat and she wants to have fish, you're not going to order two bottles of wine. I mean, it doesn't make sense, nor should you probably. But realistically, you both have a good choice. You've got a choice of white wine to go with the fish, as an example, although there's a lot of red wines that go with fish as well. But then for the meat dish, you've got red wines to choose, and not just one or two. You could try one and say, you know what, I think I'm going to try this other one too. That sounds pretty interesting. And by the evening, you've had a couple glasses of red wine, maybe two different varietals, but you have bought two or three bottles of wine, and then what do you do with them? You know, that's really true. I know I have people ask me all the time, what do you do with half a bottle of wine? And my answer is, I have no idea.
Take it home with you.
Take it home with you. Yeah. Or put it in the refrigerator with the cork in it for two or three days, but not for two or three weeks. That's very, very good. So how long have you been in the food business? Quite a while?
30 years.
No, you're not 30 years old.
Oh, yeah, I am.
You are? Okay. 30 years, that's good. Well, how long have you been managing restaurants? It's been quite a while.
30 years, and I also owned my own for 10 years.
There you go. So that's what makes it happen. You know, when you own your own restaurant, the restaurant business, incidentally, is probably one of the most difficult businesses to be successful in. I know when you go to a nice restaurant, you think everything's wonderful, but to make it look and act wonderful takes a lot of hard work and a lot of luck, and then, of course, talented staff to work for you. And then you have to have the knowledge to train the staff. There's nothing worse than going to an expensive restaurant and have the food server not have a clue how to wait on you as a customer. Just to give you an example, and I don't want to go into the whole details, but you always serve food on the left side, and you always take food away from the table on the right side of the customer. Anybody that does it different is doing it wrong. There's always water, if you're having water, at 12 o'clock. It would be noon, if you will, on the top of your plate. Then the first glass to the right of that would be your champagne or sparkling wine, if you have one. And then your white wine, and then your red wine. And it's just amazing how all this sort of thing happens. And people like Tanya know how to make it happen. And consequently, not only do they make it happen, they make sure it continues to happen. And food servers not only do a better job, at the end of the day, they have more money in their pocket too, because service was good. That is a very, very important thing. Now, 20 regions in Italy, 200 varietals of grapes that they make wine from, that's pretty much, I think, pretty much incredible. So what do you do? Well, tonight, our first wine that we are tasting happens to be one that has bubbles in it. Now, if you were next door from Italy into France, you would might, depending on where it was made, but if it was made in the northern region of France in what we call the Champagne region, then it would also be called Champagne. And back in the late 1800s, the French government decided that they were a little bit upset with the rest of the world calling their bubbly Champagne when it wasn't. And so they invited everybody to come see them. They went over there to France and had a discussion. The discussion, in effect, was don't call your product Champagne unless it comes from our Champagne region. And everybody agreed to it. That sounds good. They all signed and committed their country to not do it. Guess who was not invited, folks? Yep, you're right. America. We weren't making a product at that time, and therefore they didn't think they needed to invite us, so they didn't. Well, that just means that the government of the United States didn't have to comply with that agreement that all the other areas around the world did. And so what has happened is that our government said, look, we're not going to comply with it because we didn't agree to it, but we're going to do it this way. We're going to make the law, and that's the way it is currently. If you're going to make a bubbly and you want to put the word Champagne on it, you can. However, you need to, by law, preface it with the state in which that bubbly is made. So you could, as an example, put on the label California Champagne or Washington champagne or New Mexico champagne, et cetera, et cetera. And that way nobody's going to be confused with quote-unquote French champagne. It turns out this was, back in the middle 1900s, it turns out that in the 2000s, most wineries aren't too concerned with the word champagne anymore because most people understand that there is a sparkling wine, or if you're in Spain, as an example, their sparkling wine, they call it cava. So that's a whole, whole different ballgame, but it tastes and acts and is made exactly the same way as in France, with one major exception. In France, you're only allowed to plant four grapes, four varietals. That would be Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and the fourth one we'll talk about in a little bit. It's also a Pinot Blanc, we'll call it that, just for the sake of that. So there's not much of it grown, and they don't use much of it in Champagne, but they are allowed to. They're not allowed to water the grapevines. That's incredible to me. If Mother Nature doesn't put water on the grapevines, those grapes don't drink it, and therefore you can only imagine the grapes don't turn out to be very good. And that's why you have heard probably all your life people say, oh, that's not a good year. You know, that's why, because that year it didn't rain. You know, makes sense to me. But unfortunately or fortunately, all the rest of the world doesn't comply with that. They can use any varietal they want. And in California, there's a number of wineries that are making a bubbly with Zinfandel, as an example. They probably don't even grow Zinfandel in France. But that's the type of thing I'm trying to talk about. So that you know that whatever country it comes from, they can put in it any varietal that they choose, except in the region of Champagne in France. And I want to mention one other thing because most people don't give consideration to it. Across the street, let's call it, from the region of Champagne, if that winery wants to make a bubbly, they cannot call it Champagne, but they do make it, and it's called sparkling wine. So you can buy French sparkling wine in retail stores all around the world and not necessarily have to buy French champagne, if that makes sense to you. And so try it. You know, it's good product, and all that is pretty good, or at least I think it is. Okay, so that's the way it works as far as the regions, the different types of food, the different types of grapes that are grown there, and that's a good thing. Now, let's talk specifically about wine number one. Wine number one is simply a Cuvée Prestige. Cuvée means blend. That's a French word for blend. So that is telling me that it's not necessarily a vintage product, meaning there is no year on the bottle. All the grapes in the bottle were not necessarily grown in the same year. So they call it a cuvée instead of let's say, 2002 vintage or whatever the year might be that the grapes were grown. So you may have two or three different years of juice in that same bottle called a cuvée. This happens to have 75% Chardonnay. And as you probably know, Chardonnay is the most popular white wine consumed in the entire world. Then it has the Pinot Blanco, 10%. And then the one that I mentioned that they're allowed to grow in Champagne is called Pinot Nero, and it has 15% of that. It's kind of a straw-like color. It has very tiny bubbles. And if you have listened to us here on Wines du Jour, you know that we have a concept that the smaller the bubbles, the better the quality of the product. So that's a very good thing. Boy, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll talk about the food that the chef has put together to go with this. And wait, do you hear what he's done? And everybody here already is grinning from ear to ear. Very, very good. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines du Jour. Having a great time here. This bubbly that I've been talking about, it's simply called Caldobasco Francescorta. I know you wouldn't understand that, so I didn't even make a big deal out of it. But it is certainly a great, and I mean great, bubbling wine. Now, it comes from, I talked about regions earlier, it comes from the Lombardia region, which is in the center of Italy, at the very top of Italy. That's where the Lombardia area is, and that's where these grapes are grown. It also has 12.5% alcohol content, which is excellent. That means it's on the low side as opposed to the high side, and that means to me that automatically that it's going to go well with food. Low alcohol wines, and I shouldn't say low because I don't mean 8%, but I'm talking about in the old days, 13.5 was normal. Today, normal is 14.5 or 15, and I'm talking about the days when it was around 14.5. So 12.5 was a little bit lower than normal, and the only reason we're talking about the alcohol level has to do with the way it pairs with food. The lower the alcohol, the easier it is to pair with food. So I have to tell you that the chef here has gone to a little bit of trouble putting together a great little sauce, but he's put together a fried calamari to go along with it. And I want to tell you what's in this fried calamari now that you've eaten most of it, if not all of it. It has anchovies. It has a little pomodoro, spicy pomodoro sauce. It has some grilled lemon. And I think it's really very good, especially when you take a bite of the calamari and a little sip of the bubbly. You know what pairing is all about. It's really a very, very good pairing and very, very tasty. So fried calamari is a good thing in most restaurants. Now, I have been to Italian restaurants that have fried calamari, ordered it as an appetizer, and you could hardly chew it. It just wasn't cooked properly. And the worst thing you can do with calamari is to overcook it. It becomes tough as shoe leather. And if you really overcook it, you could hurt somebody if you threw it at them. You know, that's how bad it is. So when you do try to make a little calamari yourself, which I recommend you do, you only cook it for maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes and not 5 or 10 minutes, thinking it needs to be cooked all the way through. It really shouldn't be. If you had a choice, it would be medium in terms of, like, if it was a steak, it would be medium or medium rare, if you will. Just want to give you that that bit of information. I told you earlier it's a little straw yellow. It has very tiny bubbles. It has a beautiful tropical yeasty taste to it. And that's one of the things I like about some of the French champagnes is the toastiness. That toastiness comes from yeast. It's the amount of yeast and the barrels that it's aged in give you that toastiness. And even though this is not French, this is Italian, it has some of that toastiness or yeastiness, if you will, along with a little bit of citrus note. So that would be kind of lemony. And I think that's one of the reasons that it goes so doggone well with the calamari. The two of them go really, really well together. Now, wine number two we're going to be coming up with here in just a few minutes is a rosé. And the only reason I'm bringing it up now is that I want you to know that now is the time of the year, folks. If you've been thinking about trying rosé wine, whether it's from California or Washington, Oregon, wherever it might be, Australia and so on, now's the time to go buy it. The prices are generally good for rosé, but the weather is perfect for consuming rosé wine. Rosé is not red and it's not white. It's kind of halfway in between. And for the last 25 years, you might have recognized a rosé. We didn't really call it that necessarily. It had its own little name called White Zinfandel. That is a rosé. That's not exactly what I'm referring to, but it is a rosé wine, and if you like it, you should drink it. That's what we say about the wine and the food business. If you like it, drink it or eat it, whatever the case may be. If you don't, you don't. If I say it's good and you don't agree, that's okay. That doesn't make you wrong and me right. That's just the way it is. Everybody's taste buds are basically a little bit different, and you should keep that in mind when it comes time to decide what you want and what you don't. So this rosé is good, and generally speaking, rosé has, just as an example, maybe a little bit of Pinot Noir. And they squeeze the juice out of the grapes. They throw the seeds and the skin and the meat into that juice and allow it to macerate for a given period of time. And that period of time is based on the color that juice is going to turn, because the grapes are red, the skins are meaty, and the color transfers, the acidity and the tannin transits into the white. We got to go to a break again. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about the 2014 La Spinetta, but we'll talk about that in detail. Be back right after this. Before I concentrate on wine number two, I want to finish up on wine number one, which is that small Cadel Bosco Franciacorta Brut. That is about, to answer your question, that is about $35 a bottle in the retail store. It is, again, 12.5% alcohol, which is just outstanding. Now, I understand why you like it, Tanya. That's one of her favorites for sparkling wine. So that's a good thing. Okay, let's go over now to number two, which is La Spinetta. The year is 2014, which simply means that all the grapes in the bottle were grown the same year, 2014. Like I told you with the Del Bosco, that was a cuvée, meaning they could have different years of juice in the same bottle. So they don't have a year on or a vintage on that. That's the difference, cuvée versus vintage. Got it? Okay. Now, this La Spinetta has 50% Sangiovese and 50% Prugnolo. Now, Prugnolo is actually a spin-off or a cousin, if you will, to Sangiovese. So they don't claim it to be 100% Sangiovese. They say 50-50, but for all intents and purposes, it's Sangiovese. One of the most popular red wines, especially in the northern part of Italy, and more specifically, if you have an opportunity to go to the Tuscan area, that's where these grapes are grown. And let me tell you, we love Tuscany. We spent some time there, and man, that's also an area. Tuscany is like a county. In Las Vegas, we sit in Clark County. Clark County is where Las Vegas is known. And in Tuscany, that's where Chianti is located, the little town of Chianti, and there's about 9 or 10 different wineries in Chianti, and they make what they call Chianti wine. However, the majority of the varietal, it's not 100%, but the majority of the varietal in all of those Chianti grapes is Sangiovese, just so that you know. Okay. Now, here's the beautiful part that the chef has done for us. His name is Martin Garcia, incidentally, and he's going to come out here maybe in a few minutes and we can talk with him. He is an outstanding chef. And one of my favorite things to have as an appetizer is called a charcuterie. And most people look at you like you have two heads when you say charcuterie, especially when they say, how do you spell it? But charcuterie just simply means it's a platter of imported meats that generally is salami and pastrami and who knows whatever the chef puts together, and imported cheeses. So it's a meat and cheese. So it could also, and I like, sausages also in my charcuterie. So all I'm saying is it's a great combination of things, and when you have a wonderful wine that isn't red and it isn't white, it's rosé, to taste with the different meats and the different cheeses, and you get a little different concept. And there's always, of course, a few olives to go along with it. That's what makes it really good. Now, this particular rosé retails for around $19 a bottle, so it's not a killer price. It's very tasty. And like I say, this is the time of the year, if you ever think you need a time of the year to drink red or white or what have you, this is the perfect time to drink rosé. It's the right season, if you will. It goes as Easter, as an example. A lot of people have lamb or they have ham. Those are the two most popular meats that are served as an entree with an Easter dinner. Lamb can be made in many ways, and different parts of the lamb. Typically, you'll take, as an example, a leg of lamb and put it on your rotisserie and rotisserie it for a couple, 3 hours, and then serve that at the Easter dinner. But you can also do ham. Now, there's more than one kind of ham, as I'm sure you know, and I'm not talking about the cut of ham, because ham is ham, but you can buy a fresh ham and then bake it yourself. And if you ever need a recipe for that sort of thing, send me an email. Be happy to send you two or three different ideas on how to roast a fresh ham. Or what happens more often is you go to the grocery store and you buy a ham in the meat section that's already cooked 100%. And then you take it home, and basically what you want to do is either put a glaze on it or just heat it up, slice it, and serve it. Or your third choice would be to buy what we call a spiral sliced ham, one that's already sliced for you. Those are okay, and in my opinion, I think it works out fine. And glazing can be a whole lot of things, different concoctions that you put together and put on it. You could simply just spread honey on it. You could put molasses on it. You can do a lot of different things to put a little what we call a glaze finish on the outside of the ham as you're heating it up in the oven. And generally around 325 or maybe 350 temperature, no warmer than that. Doesn't need to be. 325 is called, in the culinary field, we call that a cool oven. A normal oven would be 350, and a hot oven would be 375 or above. So sometimes you see a lot of recipes come attached to a product that you buy, that say a 400-degree oven. Well, that's a hot oven. If it was 375, it'd still be called a hot oven. So you have to be a little more specific with that. So I just thought I'd throw that in. So Sangiovese is good, $19 a bottle, 2014 varietal, 2014 vintage, and 12.5% alcohol. It's got to be a very, very good thing. We've got to go to another break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about wine number three. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Dovino. That's an Italian food restaurant that has a beautiful wine bar in the Monte Carlo Hotel. And let me tell you, it's a place to go to. Parking here is unbelievable. And, of course, it's like any other good hotel. It has a wonderful valet section. But the Dovino is a great restaurant to know about for lunch or for dinner. And one thing that Tanya Phillips told me about is that they have here at Dovino. Listen to this. Okay. They have happy hour all day long. Not before 4 or 6 or whatever it might be. You come here anytime. You can go to the bar, and it's a wine bar, beautiful wine bar, I might add, and you can get the prices for happy hour all day long. That is unbelievable. And, of course, you can also get the menu there and order things at the bar. You don't have to sit down at the dining room table if you don't feel like it. It's really up to you. So I think that's very good. And one other thing I want to mention, I don't normally do this on the air, and that is that this particular, Ca del Bosco Brut, that the first wine that we had, the bubbly, if you will, is available at a wine store restaurant combination here in town at the Desert Shore area called Marche Bacchus. They keep it in stock. So it's about $35. You can go there and get it any time you want. On the other hand, they do have an awful lot of Italian wines, but they feature French wines, and you can order either one of the other two that we have And they can get it for you in 24 hours. It's not a problem. So that's a really, really good thing. So happy hour all day at Divino is a license to have a heck of a good time, whether it's St. Paddy's Day or not, doesn't really make any difference. You can do it all the time. That's a good deal. And the just charcuterie plattery that Chef Martin Garcia has put together is killer. I love the olives, I love the meat, I love the cheeses. He's just done a beautiful job with it. And folks, you should see the presentation that he sent out from the kitchen. I know it's kind of hard to do on the radio, but I can just tell you that it's beautiful. Everybody here is really enjoying it. And there's nothing like having your visitors or your guests, if you will, look at you with a big smile on their face while they're chewing. So they're enjoying what they're doing, and that's what it's all about, pairing a little bit of food with a little bit of wine. Let's go to wine number three before we run out of time here tonight. Wine number three is Garofoli. That's the variety. Garofoli is the name of the winery. And Lacrima del Moro, I'm sorry, that's not the name of the winery. Caria is the name of the winery. Garofoli Lacrima del Moro is the name of the wine. I don't know yet, but I'll find out exactly how much it retails for, and I'll be happy to let you know. But it is Lacrima, which is probably something you've never heard before. You think I'm saying Lacrima, and I'm not. I'm saying Lacrima. That's the name of the grape. And that grape is grown in an area just south of the Veneto. If you look at the map, and everybody here has a map, if you look at a map, it's called Marche, M-A-R-C-H-E. Marche is the region that these grapes are grown. So it's a little bit of information about Italian cuisine, I mean Italian wine. Now, what Chef Garcia has done is he's taken some pork tenderloin and then wrapped it in bacon. And then he's made a little bit of spring pea risotto. Spring pea just means they're fresh peas coming right out of the garden this time of the year because it is spring. And spring peas are very, very tasty, I might add. And, of course, almost anybody that knows much at all about Italian cuisine knows that risotto is everybody's favorite item with made with rice or arborio rice. That's a special short grain rice that we use. And then he takes a little bit of wild mushrooms. And with that, he takes a little Marsala and makes a glaze to go over this pork tenderloin. Boy, are we spoiled or what? This is actually dynamite, and this red wine is killer. Now, they just finished pouring it, so you may not have been finished with your charcuterie and your rosé, and that's okay. There's no real hurry. I just wanted to mention what it is so that the people listening to us know that these are the three wines that we have this evening and how it works. So all day, you could come here all day at Divino. I'm really surprised. In fact, I can tell you, this is the only place I know of in Las Vegas that does that, where their happy hours prices are all day long. I just never have heard of that. And they have an actual, we say wine bar kind of loosely by today's standards. This is an absolute wine bar. I mean, they've got a great wine by the glass program. They've got a full choices of Italian wines or French wines, American wines, and so on, at reasonable prices, I might add. And then they also have the food menu that you can choose and have a little bit of food to go along with your wine if you choose to do that. So I think that's a very good thing. So we've had tonight the fried calamari with our first bubbly. Then we've had the charcuterie platter, which I have to tell you, some people are still trying to finish. There won't be anything left on those platters when the show's over. They're eating all of it, if you know what I mean. It's that good. And then last but certainly not least is the pork tenderloin wrapped in bacon with a little spring pea risotto, wild mushrooms, and a little Marsala glaze on top of it. So we're almost, we got to go to a break. 3 minutes?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. Oh, that's all right. I'll be back in just a few moments and talk to you about what else is happening here on Wines du Jour. Thanks for listening. We'll be back right after this. Jeff Garcia, folks. He's the one that put this together.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're very happy.
We're back on the air. I want to thank you very much for listening to Wines du Jour. We have a few minutes here. Believe it or not, the chef was able to get out of the kitchen. That's a doggone good thing. Chef Martin Garcia, thank you very much for beautiful food this evening. Your pairings are incredibly good.
Thank you.
And your presentation is wonderful.
Thank
Tell
you,
us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the food business?
Well, I'm starting like in really early years, like when I was 17.
Uh-huh.
We got here. I'm starting like as everybody from the bottle. Like we start. I'm not afraid to say I'm starting like, as a dishwasher, and for that we started like feeling that passion to make something like for other person, like make happy too. Different thing has this food. I mean, for me, cooking is everything right now. It's not just a job for me. It's a passion.
There you go.
We're doing for you guys to enjoy it. That's the most thing that I really like to see on the people when we're cooking. They say like our food is wonderful, and that makes me happy and like really give me that power to go forward and move on every day.
That sounds good. Well, you know, early on when you first started talking, you said the word that is probably the most important thing an executive chef or somebody that runs a kitchen can say, and that is they have a passion for food.
Correct.
It's not just you have a lot of recipes, or you can follow a recipe and put a half a teaspoon or a cup or what have you. It's that passion to
That's
make it
That's an extra
taste.
Ingredient that is a passion. I'm always saying like it's love. If you put love on what you're doing, whatever you're doing, it's like, and for me, it's the perfect thing.
Absolutely. Now, this risotto that you put together, you've got a little fresh spring peas. You're getting those in the from your purveyors now.
Yes,
huh?
We're working with fresh ingredients every season. So we're working right now. We're launching our spring menu very soon. On this next week, actually, we're starting on the 29th. So fresh ingredients, seasonal ingredients, fresh products.
Now, how did you become involved in cooking Italian cuisine in particular?
Well, in particular, I always work for Italian restaurants.
No kidding?
Yes. I never changed it.
Okay.
Since I started my first job, I started in an Italian restaurant. I was just right here across the street at New York, at El Fornaio. I don't know if you guys...
I know El Fornaio, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I started right there, like starting meeting the chefs, involving on everything like about ingredients, like fresh ingredients, seasonal ingredients. So, yeah.
And you know, it's amazing. You can have a recipe in the kitchen.
Correct.
But when you actually put it together, you may not do step by step exactly the way the recipe was written, because that passion that I was talking about
early,
you do it a little bit different, and guess what? It turns out a little bit better than the recipe if you just did it straight ahead. That's why some food is really good,
right,
and other food is just
an average food.
Exactly.
Yeah. For me, following a recipe, like, I mean, it's good, but it's how you say it. It's like in the standard like food. But if you put your own thing, your own passion, your own way to cook, I think this make a difference.
Yeah,
that's a difference.
That's really good. Well, Chef Martin Garcia is a guy you want to remember if you get a chance, and I hope you do, to come over to Divino. This
Correct.
Is a great place here at the Monte Carlo. It's the best restaurant Monte Carlo has, even though they don't own it.
Thank you.
That's an absolute fact.
We really appreciate it.
I'm not making it
I'm
up.
I'm very happy you guys enjoy everything, and I hope you see you guys later around, you know?
Okay, I want to thank you very much for listening to Wines du Jour, a food and wine program coming to you this show from Divino Italian Food and Wine Bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show. We broadcast each week at this very same time in this very same station that you're listening to. So, or you can go to my website, leskincaid.com, and choose to listen to any of the shows 24/7. If you've enjoyed this program, be sure to tell everybody you know and tune in each week. If you want to know more about my favorite subjects, log on to Wines du Jour. From Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.